fresh off a big weekend at Magic Round. Adam Pengilly, how are you, mate?
Anything but fresh, Jared. How are you going, boys?
Take us through your weekend.
Fantastic time up there, Jared. It was a really great weekend. I know you guys have got other commitments, but I highly recommend if you get a chance 1 year to get up there to Brisbane for Magic Round. It's just a great vibe around the city. I thought the football was great in the weekend, and I heard you guys speaking about the surface just a few minutes ago with that call that called through, and I thought the Suncorp Stadium surface held up tremendously well given the amount of traffic that was obviously across it on the 3 days with the weather. The weather was just horrible on Friday and Saturday. I thought Saturday was supposed to clear up a bit. Just this rain just persisted and persisted all day, and then yesterday, thankfully, the sun finally came out. We had some good football, so... yeah, lots of different storylines coming out of the weekend. A couple of surprises. I thought Canberra lost. The Raiders were outstanding yesterday. The Sharks were clearly off the boil there. They were really poor after their big effort against the Warriors the week before. I thought Canberra were fantastic. And then the Roosters obviously showed they're going to still flex the muscle and be a big contender in the Premiership later this year.
It must have been hot up there yesterday, was it, Adam? In particular, the humidity. Because at the back end of that Raiders-Sharks game, they were out on their feet. Both sides were gone.
It was horrible there yesterday. The humidity up there after the sun came out was disgusting, if I'm putting it in those terms. There were people that, well, I got outside a little bit yesterday, but the other people that spent a lot of time outside on the concourse and outside the stadium, and they were just sweating absolute bullets. So you could see in that Raiders and Sharks game, both teams are absolutely gassed with 20 minutes to go. And even I think the Eels-Roosters game probably dropped off significantly in intensity that last 20 minutes. It was probably one of the most uncomfortable conditions all those players will get all year yesterday. It was just really, really... awkward day.
How much are you reading into Penrith's massive performance over the Storm? 32 points to 6.
Not a whole lot, Loz, if I'm being honest. Yep. I think the Pappenhausen withdrawal, and then in particular Jerome Hughes on game day, really sucked a lot of life out of that contest. Penrith are great, as they always are. A lot of intensity they play with, and they were fantastic and clearly dominated contest from the start. But I think the game we all thought it was going to be heading into it probably lost a lot of its luster given the fact of those two high-profile withdrawals. Put it this way, Loz, if you take... say Nathan Cleary and Isaiah Yeo out of that Penrith team, do you reverse the result? I'm not sure, but clearly they're the team to beat at the moment. They're the favourites, but still a long way to go in this competition.
What's your feel on what will happen to Trent Barrett this week?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Jared. There's no doubt that patience is very much wearing thin. My gut feel right now is that I think he'll probably get a chance to coach this week and potentially the week after that. They've got two games that... well, to be honest, they need to be winning if they're going to be absolutely any chance of climbing the ladder. That's against the Tigers this week. I think they've got the Dragons at Belmore the week after that. So, it's a very interesting time at Belmore, isn't it? They were in control of that game, Jared, on Friday night against the Knights. I know it was a very scrappy, low-quality affair, but I thought at halftime, even though the scoreboard was level, I thought the Bulldogs were in control of that game. And that second half was just really, really poor from them. Given the amount of players that Newcastle have had out, I thought the Bulldogs were really bad in that second half. So, yeah, I think that's... to be fair, boys, is pretty much on his last chance coming up this week against the Tigers. He desperately needs a result this week, and Wayne's out plays out, but certainly a very interesting 24 to 48 hours at Belmore this week.
There's some good racing at Scone over the two-day carnival, mate.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Loz, I caught little bits and pieces on the television. Must admit, I was very much tied up there in Brisbane for Magic Round, but I did catch a few races across the course of the weekend. Just want to touch on Bring the Ransom winning the Dark Jewel. What an upset that was. 50-1. Beautiful, great ride by Tyler Schiller. And obviously a plan from Bjorn Baker. She was racing well enough at the start of her campaign in the autumn, but a nice little freshen up and got her back on a dry track. And she has raced really well on the fresh side in the past. So that was the right ingredients for her there. But obviously it was a big surprise result given the odds. So well done to Tyler Schiller as well, boys. And obviously a big win to try and kick his career along, winning a Group 3 race. And Wonderbar was great there for Chris Lees in second too. And obviously Never Talk filled out the placings. But all honours with Bring the Ransom.
I have some unconfirmed reports that Bjorn Baker was going around to quite a few people Saturday tipping Exotic Ruby, his other horse in that race, which is about 20-1 as well. Well, it was 20-1. Mm. So you can imagine all those people who got on Exotic Ruby, how filthy they were when the stable mate gets up at 50-1. Oh, geez. Good on you, Bjorn. One of your best. Marzu, this horse just continues to go from strength to strength and gets it Group 1.
Yeah, I must admit, Jared, I backed him there on the weekend, but I was not comfortable at any stage. No. Just coming to the turn, he looked like he was under a lot of pressure there for Sammy Clip, and he thought, I don't think he's going to win this race. I think he's probably just going to maybe finish a neat third or fourth, but he dug in for the fight. That's a great fighting quality in a horse, isn't it? The ability to know where the line is and get your nose down. And when Paul Ailey loomed up, he thought, he's going to have to really pull out all stops here to try and win this race, and he did. So perfect preparation from Peter and Paul Snowden. They they probably had the opportunity, Jared, didn't they, to take him to a Group 1 Galaxy or maybe a TJ's mistakes and deep end him in the Autumn Carnival. They took their time, took the low road, always had this race in the back of their minds. And I suppose Arrowfield and the Star, their faith in locking him up on a two-year deal for the Everest has probably been vindicated to an extent. So Paul Ali bounced back there. He'll be one of Godolphin's chances heading towards the Everest, I imagine, later in the spring. But take that away from Marzu. He's a sprinter on the rise.
Day off to recover, mate?
No, I've got to work today, Jared, believe it or not. So I think I walked in the door last night. I don't know what time it was, mate. It was quarter to 12 midnight, something like that. So I'll be slow into stride today, but we'll push on. We'll see how we go.
You're a soldier. Thanks so much, mate.
See you, boys.